All right, buckle up, everybody, because today we are diving deep into Catholic social teaching.
Oh, yeah.
And you've given me some really interesting articles here. And let me tell you, this is not just some simple Sunday school stuff.
No.
This is some really thought-provoking material.
Right.
And we're going to try to unpack. So we're going to uncover what's at the heart of this complex topic.
It really is.
And so,
you know, it's not about easy answers or just simple charity.
Yeah. And I think when people think about Catholic social teaching,
right,
they might think about things like charity soup kitchens, clothing drives.
Mm-hmm.
But these articles suggest it goes way deeper than that.
It does.
Impacting everything from how we structure our economy to how we even think about politics.
Yes.
So
it really is kind of foundational to how we think about society and how we build a world that reflects the dignity of every human person.
Wow. I'm intrigued. So where do we even begin with something this big?
Well, I think a good place to start is looking back at history a little bit.
Okay.
So let's go back to the late 19th century,
okay,
a time of really massive upheaval and change.
Yeah.
Think Industrial Revolution, mass migration to cities, and the rise of new ideologies like Marxism.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the world was grappling with some massive social problems at that time.
Yeah, that sounds like a recipe for chaos.
It really was.
So what was the church's response to all of this?
Well, in 1891, Pope Leo XIII issued this landmark encyclical called Rerum Novarum,
okay,
which was the church's major statement on the social issues of the day.
Wow.
And it really wasn't a paradigm shift.
Okay.
It was basically the church saying, hey, we have a vital role to play in shaping a just world, and here's how we see it.
So it was like a declaration of the church's citizenship in the modern world.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
And this really laid the groundwork for what we now call Catholic social teaching.
Okay, so then what are the core principles that drive this teaching? What's like the DNA, so to speak?
Okay, so there are three foundational principles that underpin everything else.
Okay.
The first, and arguably most important, is human dignity.
Okay.
Catholic social teaching insists that every single person, regardless of their background, beliefs, or circumstances, has inherent value.
Okay.
Because they're made in the image and likeness of God.
So everyone's a VIP in the eyes of God.
Right.
And that has real implications for how we treat each other and structure society.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And so from that bedrock principle flows the second principle, which is solidarity.
Okay.
And this goes beyond just, you know, feeling sympathy for people who are struggling or in need.
Huh.
It's about a deep commitment to the common good.
Okay.
Recognizing that we are all interconnected.
Right.
It's love thy neighbor, but on like a societal level.
So it's not just about individual acts of charity, but about working together.
Right.
To create a society where everyone can flourish.
Exactly.
Okay. And what's the third principle?
The third principle is subsidiarity.
Okay.
And this one emphasizes that decisions and power should be handled at the most local level possible.
Okay.
So individuals, families, local communities should have the first crack at solving problems before we jump to solutions from higher levels of government.
Okay. So I'm sensing a theme here.
Yes.
It's about empowering people, not overreaching government.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Subsidiarity is about recognizing the unique gifts and responsibilities of individuals and communities.
Right.
And fostering a really vibrant civil society where people are actively involved in shaping their own lives.
Okay, this is really fascinating stuff. But I have a feeling Catholic social teaching doesn't fit neatly into our typical political boxes, does it?
No, not at all.
And you even mentioned in the articles how it kind of critiques both left and right viewpoints.
You're exactly right. And that's one of the most interesting things I think about Catholic social teaching is that it defies easy categorization.
Right.
It challenges both sides of the political spectrum.
Okay.
And it urges us to move beyond partisan slogans and to really grapple with the complexities of building a just world.
Okay, so how does it push back against the right, for example?
Well, one of the things that the articles highlight is that some on the right might overemphasize the free market while overlooking the needs of those who are struggling.
Uh-huh.
You know, they might prioritize economic growth without paying enough attention to the negative social consequences of that, like consumerism or exploitation of workers.
So it's like saying that economic freedom without a strong moral compass can lead to injustice.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then on the other side, Catholic social teaching also critiques those on the left.
Okay, so how so?
Well, sometimes those on the left may focus very heavily on government programs as the primary solution to poverty.
Okay.
And perhaps overlooking the importance of personal responsibility or the potential downsides of excessive bureaucracy.
So it's like a balancing act.
It is.
Recognizing the limitations of both extremes.
Absolutely. And Catholic social teaching calls us to think critically and to engage with these issues in a nuanced way.
Okay, now we've established Catholic social teaching goes way beyond simple charity.
Yes, right.
But at the same time, you keep using the word charity.
Yes.
So can you clarify what's going on there?
Right. So that's where it gets really interesting. Yes, charity is a part of it, but it's not just about those feel-good acts of kindness.
Right.
It's about tackling the root causes of societal problems and transforming the very structures that lead to injustice.
So it's not just about giving a man a fish, but teaching him to fish.
Right.
Or even going further and saying, like, why doesn't this man even have access to the lake?
That's a great analogy.
To go fishing in the first place.
Yeah. It's about recognizing that real change requires more than just individual acts of kindness.
Right.
It requires us to look at the bigger picture, to look at the social, the political, and the economic systems that are creating or perpetuating these problems in the first place.
Okay. And speaking of bigger pictures, you talk about the common good and social justice.
Yes.
So can you unpack those terms for us a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So those are two key concepts that flow directly from the principles we've already talked about. The common good refers to the conditions that allow all members of society to thrive and reach their full potential.
So not just focusing on individual success, but on creating a society where everyone has a chance to succeed.
Exactly.
Okay.
And social justice is all about ensuring that each person receives what they are due based on their inherent dignity and vocation.
So it's not just about equality,
right?
But it's about recognizing the unique needs and contributions of each person.
That's right. It's about ensuring that everyone has a fair shot regardless of their background or their circumstances.
All right, so we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
We've explored the origins of Catholic social teaching.
Yes.
Its core principles.
Right.
And even how it challenges both ends of the political spectrum. But I noted in the articles you mentioned these pathologies.
Yes.
That are threatening modern society.
Right.
So what are those all about?
So these pathologies are kind of like diseases.
Okay.
They're eating away at the fabric of our culture, our economy, our politics.
Okay.
And the source identifies four major dangers, and these are all interconnected.
Okay.
And they act like warning signs, indicators of where we've gone astray.
This is where it gets really interesting.
It does.
So are you ready to dive into these pathologies and see how they connect to everything we've been talking about?
I think so, but I think that's a good place to maybe pause for now and pick up this conversation in part two.
Okay, deep divers.
Yeah.
We've reached a cliffhanger, so make sure to come back for part two.
Yes.
Where we'll unpack these pathologies and see how they're impacting our world.
Sounds good.
Welcome back, Deep Diver. So last time we laid the groundwork exploring the origins and core principles of Catholic social teaching.
We did, we did.
And we even touched on how it challenges both ends of the political spectrum.
Yes, yes, we did.
But we left off with a little bit of a cliffhanger.
We did.
With these pathologies or dangers that are threatening modern society.
Right.
And they really piqued my curiosity. So
yes.
I'm ready to unpack these and see how they connect to everything that we've been talking about.
Okay, sounds good.
So what's the first one on the list?
Well, the first pathology that the source identifies is the breakdown of the family.
Okay.
And this is really emphasized as a crucial issue.
Okay.
Because the family is seen as that essential building block of society.
Right.
And when families struggle, the whole social fabric weakens.
Right. And that makes sense given the emphasis on human dignity and solidarity that we talked about earlier.
Exactly.
The family is where we first learn to love and care for others.
Right.
And to practice those values.
Exactly. It's like a first school of virtue.
Right.
When the family unit breaks down, those essential lessons are often lost. And that impacts everything from how we relate to others to how we participate in society as a whole.
Wow. It's fascinating how interconnected all of this is.
It is.
So, okay, what's the second pathology on the list?
Okay. The second one is a little bit more subtle.
Okay.
It's the erosion of a proper understanding of freedom.
Okay. This one really struck me as we were kind of prepping for this deep dive.
Yeah.
Because isn't freedom all about individual choice?
Right.
And, you know, doing what you want? How could that be a bad thing?
Well, that's kind of the common understanding of freedom that we have today.
Right.
But Catholic social teaching argues that true freedom is not simply about doing whatever we want, whenever we want.
Okay.
True freedom is about choosing what is good,
okay,
what is true, what leads to real fulfillment.
So it's less about freedom from rules and more about freedom for something greater.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay.
It's about recognizing that we're not just isolated individuals,
right,
but we're beings that are created for relationship, for community, for a purpose that's beyond ourselves.
Uh-huh.
And true freedom comes from aligning our choices with that purpose.
Okay, I see how this ties back to the concept of human dignity.
Exactly.
We're free to choose, but we're called to choose what really reflects our inherent worth.
Right.
And our connection to others.
Yeah. It's a much deeper understanding of freedom than we often encounter in our culture today.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so on to the third pathology. What's next on the list?
Okay, the third one is a distorted understanding of the role of the state.
Okay.
Catholic social teaching, especially the principle of subsidiarity,
right,
emphasizes that the state shouldn't overreach.
So it's about striking that balance between individual freedom,
yes,
and the need for collective action, right? Where does the government fit into all of this?
It is a delicate balance, for sure.
Yeah.
The state has a critical role to play in promoting the common good.
Right.
But it shouldn't try to do everything.
Right.
It shouldn't try to replace the role of families, communities, or other smaller institutions
okay.
that are closer to the people and to their needs.
It's like that saying, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day, teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime.
Right.
But maybe we need to add in there, make sure there's a healthy lake for him to fish in.
I like that.
In the first place.
Yeah, it highlights that we need both individual initiative and supportive social structures.
Uh-huh.
And those structures are often best built at the local level.
Right.
Where people have a greater sense of ownership and responsibility.
Right. It's reminding me of those community gardens that you see popping up in cities.
Yes.
It's not just about growing food. It's about building community. And empowering people to take control of their own well-being.
That's a perfect example of subsidiarity in action.
Yeah.
It's about fostering a sense of agency,
right.
Recognizing that people are capable of solving their own problems when given the right support and opportunities.
That's great. Okay, we're down to the pathology. What's that final warning sign?
Okay, the fourth and perhaps most pervasive pathology is a culture of consumerism and materialism.
Okay.
And this one hits close to home for many of us.
Okay.
We are constantly bombarded with messages telling us to buy more, have more, be more.
Right.
It's easy to get caught up in that cycle.
Yeah, it's like we're being trained to believe that happiness comes from acquiring things.
Yes.
Rather than from cultivating relationships or pursuing our passions or contributing to something larger than ourselves.
And that's precisely the danger.
Right.
Catholic social teaching reminds us that true happiness, lasting fulfillment, doesn't come from material possessions
right.
or fleeting pleasures.
Yeah.
It comes from living in right relationship with God, ourselves, and others.
Right. It's about aligning our desires with what is truly good and life-giving.
Yes.
Rather than getting sucked into that endless pursuit of more.
Exactly. And the source is really clear that this pathology,
right.
this fixation on material things has serious consequences.
Okay.
It can lead to emptiness, to isolation, to a sense of meaninglessness.
Wow.
It can even drive us to exploit others and damage the environment
right.
in our quest for more stuff.
So we've identified these four pathologies.
We have.
The breakdown of the family, a distorted understanding of freedom, a flawed view of the state's role,
right.
and this rampant consumerism. And it's a pretty sobering picture of the challenges facing modern society.
It is.
So what does Catholic social teaching offer as a response to all of this? What's the antidote?
That's a great question, and it leads us to the heart of what we're going to be exploring in the next part of our deep dive. But I'll leave you with this thought.
Okay.
The source emphasizes that simply knowing about Catholic social teaching isn't enough.
Right.
It's about putting it into practice.
Okay.
About transforming our lives and our world in light of these principles.
Okay, Deep Diver is another cliffhanger.
Yes.
Be sure to tune in for part 3, where we'll explore how Catholic social teaching equips us to respond to these challenges and build a better world. Okay, Deep Divers, we are back for the final part of our deep dive into Catholic social teaching.
Yes.
We've explored its history,
right.
its core principles.
Yes.
We even diagnosed some pretty serious pathologies that are afflicting modern society.
Mm-hmm.
So now for the big question.
Yeah.
What's the solution?
That's where the rubber meets the road, right? I mean, it's one thing to understand the problems,
right.
but how do we actually address them? How do we translate these principles into action
yeah.
and build a better world?
Exactly. And it can feel a little overwhelming, you know?
It can.
To think about tackling these huge issues.
Yes.
Especially when we feel like just one person.
Right. I understand that, but the source that we've been exploring
okay.
offers some really practical guidance,
okay.
and it emphasizes that change starts with each of us.
Okay.
It all begins with formation.
Okay.
Educating ourselves and others about what Catholic social teaching really is and what it calls us to do.
So it's not enough to just have good intentions.
Right.
We actually need knowledge and understanding to guide our actions.
That's right. We need to really grasp those core principles that we talked about.
Uh-huh.
Human dignity, solidarity, subsidiarity.
Right.
And then see how they apply to these concrete challenges that we face.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
You got to learn the rules of the game
right.
before you can really play it effectively.
Okay, I'm following you.
Okay, good.
So we need to educate ourselves.
Yes.
But what comes next?
Okay, so the source highlights that Catholic social teaching calls us to be engaged citizens.
Okay.
To participate in the Flippic Square.
Uh-huh.
And to advocate for policies that promote the common good.
Okay.
And this can take many forms, right? It can be voting in elections, contacting our representatives.
Right.
Even running for office ourselves.
So it's about bringing those principles into the political arena.
Absolutely.
Working to shape a society that reflects those values.
Yes, but it goes beyond just electoral politics, right?
Right.
Think about your workplace, your community organizations, even your family.
Right.
Catholic social teaching calls us to be a force for good in every aspect of our lives.
One thing that really struck me as we were reading through the articles
yeah.
was the emphasis on living out Catholic social teaching as a form of charity.
Yes.
Even a political path of charity.
Right.
Can you unpack that a little bit?
Yeah, that's a really profound idea.
Yeah.
And I think it really challenges our typical understanding of charity.
Okay.
We often think of charity as, you know, those one-off acts of kindness.
Right.
Volunteering at a soup kitchen, donating to a good cause.
Right.
Those are all important, of course.
Yeah.
The Catholic social teaching invites us to think bigger.
Okay, I think I'm starting to see what you mean.
Okay, good.
It's about more than just meeting those immediate needs, right?
Exactly.
It's about addressing the root causes of those needs.
Yes.
And creating a world where everyone has the opportunity to thrive.
That's it.
Okay.
It's about recognizing that charity involves both meeting those immediate needs
right.
and working to transform the systems that created those needs in the first place.
So it's not an either or.
No.
We need both.
We need both.
Individual acts of mercy and systemic change.
Exactly. And this brings us back to something we talked about a little bit earlier, which is the importance of culture.
Right.
Do you remember we talked about culture being the most important?
Right. You say it's like the soil from which everything else grows.
Yes, exactly.
So how does Catholic social teaching guide us in transforming our culture?
Okay.
Especially in the face of all these pathologies we discussed.
That's a huge task.
Yeah.
But Catholic social teaching challenges us to be a leaven in society.
Okay.
To bring the light of the gospel to bear on all those cultural trends that are shaping our world.
Okay.
So think about the messages we encounter every day
yeah.
in the media, advertising, even our entertainment.
Yeah.
Are they promoting values that align with human dignity and the common good?
So you're challenging us to be more discerning.
Yes.
To actually critically evaluate the messages that we're just bombarded with all the time.
Yeah.
It's easy to just passively absorb everything.
It is.
But we need to be active participants in shaping the culture around us.
That's right. And that starts with our own choices. What we read, what we watch, what we buy,
right.
how we treat others.
Right.
It's about being intentional and living out these values in our daily lives
mm-hmm.
and hopefully inspiring others to do the same.
So what I'm hearing is that Catholic social teaching calls us to be both active citizens
yes.
and cultural critics.
That's right.
To engage in the public square.
Yes.
And to challenge those aspects of our culture that contradict human dignity and the common good.
That's right. It's a lot to take in.
It is a lot.
But remember, it's not about doing everything perfectly or having all the answers.
Right.
It's about taking that first step.
Okay.
About making that conscious effort to live out these principles in our own lives
okay.
and to be a force for positive change in the world.
That's encouraging.
Good.
I'm starting to see how Catholic social teaching isn't just some abstract theory.
Right.
It's really a call to action.
It is.
A roadmap for building a more just and compassionate world.
That's exactly right.
So what's like the one key takeaway that you hope our listeners will walk away with today?
Well, I hope they see that Catholic social teaching is really this vibrant and compelling vision for a better future.
Okay.
A future that is grounded in the belief that every person has inherent dignity
uh-huh.
and deserves to flourish.
Okay.
And it's an invitation to become agents of change.
Yeah.
To work together to build a world that reflects those values.
So it's about putting our faith into action.
Yes.
About making a difference in the world.
And that's something that we can all do no matter who we are or where we come from.
Well, that's a perfect note to end on.
It is.
So, Deet Deggers, thank you so much for joining us on this exploration of Catholic social teaching.
Yes, thank you.
And remember, the conversation doesn't end here.
It doesn't.
We encourage you to keep exploring these ideas, to delve deeper into the sources,
yes.
and to find ways to put these principles into practice in your own lives.
Absolutely. And if you're looking for more resources, I highly recommend checking out CAP USA,
okay,
the organization that published the material that we've been using for this deep dive.
Right.
They have a wealth of information on Catholic social teaching and how to live it out in the world.
Great. Thanks for listening. And until next time, keep seeking truth, keep asking those tough questions, and keep working to build a better world.